All right, so my name is Alyssa, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And happy to be with you all this morning and with my friend Ellen. And we are going to be talking about self-seeking slipping away. Are we recording?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to start by just reading a passage out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 62, if anybody wants to follow along. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic, the compulsive overeater, is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he or she usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we compulsive overeaters must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Ellen to talk a little bit about self-seeking and how it slipped away in her life.
Thanks, Alyssa.
I'm Ellen, a compulsive overeater and sugar addict.
Hi, Ellen.
It's funny, I'm usually really hot when I talk in front of people. I used to do that professionally, actually with Alyssa, and I am freezing, so it's the opposite feeling that I have this morning. One thing I wanted to do was read just that one piece in the promises about self-seeking, and it says, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Not only am I a compulsive overeater, but I'm also a candidate for most other programs. So I'm a recovering alcoholic, recovering drug addict, recovering sex addict, you name it, I'm pretty much a candidate for any program. And I have come in and out of these rooms in Overeaters Anonymous, in part due to denial, but in part due to being in pursuit of other recovery programs. And I'm really grateful to say that it's been over 30 years since I first began my journey with the 12 steps. One of the things, when Alyssa asked me to help her with this workshop, I started thinking about the self-seeking in my life. And while I am not by any means trying to say that I'm perfect today, but self-seeking really has slipped away, especially when I think about how I was prior to program. And but the core addiction for me is food, sugar in particular. But, you know, I have memories of when I was taking care of home with my kids. I got to be a stay-at-home mom for a little while, you know, baking cookies and all those kinds of things, and batches of cookies and breads and things that the rest of my family members never got to see because I ate them all. And so what I remember with self-seeking prior to program is that I was obsessed with feeding all of my addictions, regardless, you know, different times, different places, it was different things. But that self-seeking, that selfishness and self-centeredness, was all about trying to fill the hole with the various addictions that I suffered from. And so I'm grateful today to say that I'm not immune from self-seeking, but it has slipped away in large part. One of the ways that I've been able to do that in my life today is the fact that I'm raising two of my grandchildren. Tremendous challenge as I began the journey through menopause. I had these two little kids come into my life who needed my husband and me. And I remember the great internal conflict about really not wanting to do that because I felt like it was that time in my life when it was supposed to be about me. And so many sleepless nights, many difficult days in that decision-making process about whether or not we should take them in. Ultimately, we did. We've had them for, this is actually the second time, but we've had them for a little bit more than 4 years. And I can say for sure that because of this program, I have been able to set some of that menopausal selfishness aside, although not completely. I am human. And I think that's one thing that's really important to remember is the human factor in all of this, that I don't need to beat myself up when I find myself in a moment of self-seeking. because that's just part of my humanness. So that forgiveness piece. All right. I'd like to read out of the Voices of Recovery. It's on page 344. My dear roommate Deb loaned me her book. It's the December 9th reading. And the interesting thing about the self-seeking slipping away, particularly with this reading, is that it coincides with step 11, which is one of the steps that's probably most dear to me. So it says, many of us begin our day with prayer and meditation. And that's out of the 12 and 12 of OA. The time between sleeping and waking is when I stir up the thoughts in which I'll marinate all day. Those thoughts easily revolve around who's done me wrong and why I'm so helpless against their conniving ways. By working the 11th step as soon as I am conscious each day, I become powerless rather than helpless. Upon awakening, I ask my higher power to divorce my thoughts from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking. When I ask for help with my motives, I receive peaceful clarity in my thinking process. The clarity gives me more mental energy for problem solving. It releases me from the sludge of judging other people and helps me listen to God's will. Today, this healthy spiritual condition allows me to react sanely and normally to food. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Ellen. So, and we're going to do an exercise where you get to think about how self-seeking is slipping away in your life. But before we do that, I just want to mention one other thing, because Ellen and I have been talking a lot about self-seeking slipping away. And I've been in recovery for about 13 years myself, but actually newer to the OA program. But definitely one of the things that we talked about is that with self-seeking kind of slipping away and getting away from being stuck in self and operating out of a place of trying to get my needs met all the time in a selfish way, what's really important is to take care of ourselves. And so a friend of mine in program always says, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first. And I think that that's really important. That's something Ellen and I talked about, is that it's important that we come to program and work the steps and have a sponsor that we get to check in with and do everything that we can to take care of our own needs, so that we can actually operate in the world in a place where we are able to be of service to others genuinely without, you know, I think, I know for me, I have, because it still creeps in, where I kind of operate out of a place, and the big book talks about it too, where I think I'm being really virtuous, like, oh, I'm really helping this other person, but in reality, it's because I have some, you know, desire that I'm trying to get met. And so, again, I think it's just really important that we take care of ourselves and love ourselves and do what we need to get our needs met, so that we can be less self-seeking and genuinely be of service to others. So with that, we are going to do a writing and or drawing exercise. So kind of your choice, whatever your chosen creative outlet is, or even if you'd rather just kind of sit and meditate on it. But there's a few questions that we thought might be helpful for you to kind of think about. And so they're written up here, and hopefully you can see them, but I will just kind of quickly read them just in case for those of you in the back. I know I have bad eyes. So first of all, where have you seen self-seeking slip away in your life as a result of working the steps and being in program? Secondly, what footwork have you done to focus less on self and more on others? And with that one, it's also what footwork could you do or would you like to do going forward? And then what does a life with less self-seeking look like to you? And how can you help your higher power to make that a reality? So that is kind of some things to ponder, and we'll give you 5 or 10 minutes, just depending on how the group does. We have some paper up here and pens, and also crayons and markers for any of you. You know, maybe your inner child wants to come out and do some drawing, or maybe it's not your inner child, just want to draw. So we'll pass this stuff out and then take some time to just kind of think about this on your own. Then we'll come together and share about it as a group.
Okay, so what we'd like to go to next is sharing. And of course, because this session's being recorded, we ask that you come up to the microphone to talk. But also, we would ask that you keep your sharing limited to 3 minutes. There's a bunch of you here, so if you could be mindful of the time. All right, who would like to share? Come on up.
Hi, my name's Linda Ray, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you for the suggested topic. Where has self-seeking slipped away from me? The hardest place to work this program is in my own home. And my relationships in my home are with three people. My daughter, Sherry, who's a grown adult and is disabled and living at home with us. Sherry and I share the kitchen. It's been very hard to share space with a 42-year-old daughter. I have my ideas. She has her ideas. My ideas is clean, neat, and pretty. Her ideas are all of the manufactured kitchen appliances you could own. And I've had to learn to share space with my daughter because she has no choice. She lives with us. She's an RN who was injured on the job, thrown against a wall in the emergency room, and has had several spinal surgeries. And some days are great, and some days she can barely get dressed. So I have to make room in our home. It's no longer my home for our daughter. The second person is my dad. My dad's 87 years old and takes up a space about as big as this table right in the center of the living room. His chair is here. His computer is here. His other computer is here. His Kindle is there. And I mean, literally, when I get up in the morning, I can't have my coffee and see my husband or my daughter around this table. And what I've realized is my dad is not going to be with us for long. I'm happy today that he's alive, that I have a father who loves me and who I've learned to love. And it's okay. My living room is just a room. I should be living outside of my house anyway, not in it. The third person is my husband in his downstairs man cave. You know, at 67 years old, having been married a long, long time, it's wonderful to have a two-story house where the living space is upstairs and there's an equally large man cave downstairs, because he's happy there and I'm happy where I am. And we can have our time together, but we can have our separate time. But there was a time when I was completely self-seeking. I wanted him upstairs. I wanted him with me. I wanted him doing things with me. And I've learned, for God's sakes, leave the man alone and let him have his space. Those are three ways that I've learned, with the aid of a sponsor, to let self-seeking slip away. Somebody will give me the three-minute signal, right? Okay, I'll just make it quick. The footwork that I've done is three things: prayer and seeking God's will, talking with my sponsor, knowing that I needed to give up space and that I needed to let people be who they are and stop requiring that they would be who I wanted them to be. Second thing is sponsoring. I sponsor three people, and when they talk to me about their lives, I see my own life. And when we're sponsoring and reaching out to other people, we can't stay so focused on ourselves. We have to change. Third idea is meeting weekly for 2 hours with my sponsor. This is not my request. To me, it's a lot of time. She says, this is what you need. We're going to meet for 2 hours from 1:30 to 3:30 every Thursday afternoon. And my response at this point is, yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. She works a triple program, has like 40 years of sobriety, and you know, I don't even have to go on and on. She is the woman who knows who I am. What's my vision? My vision is I'd like to give up my will entirely. Nowhere near that, but that's what I would like, to give up my will entirely so that I can start doing what God's asking me to do. So how do I do that? What's my vision? These are the things that I'm hearing. Go to the gym every morning. I'm a couch potato by nature. I might walk for 15 minutes and call that my daily exercise. Now I'm in 3 silver sneakers classes a week, 2 water aerobics classes, and I'm seriously thinking about staying the extra hour 1 or 2 days a week for yoga, because I've never done this before. This is dancing for me. It's going from couch potato to dancing. It's wonderful. No nighttime TV. I keep hearing that. Take your calls in the evening instead. Most of my callers would prefer to call me in the evening after work. No eating their food, because I cook their food. I have a father and a daughter who sometimes is unable to cook for herself. I cook their food, but it's not my food. My food is fruits and vegetables and chicken and fish and not a whole lot more than that. Their food is meat and potatoes and gravy and bread. Does that ring a bell to anybody? I mean, come on. Thank you. Evening meetings. I've been asked to to attend Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings, and twice speaker meetings, twice a month on Fridays. You know what? I'm a 4:30 in the morning get up kind of gal and crawl into bed at 8 o'clock at night. But I'm hearing my higher power say, get out of your comfort zone and go to these nighttime meetings. You need these meetings. Those people need you. So I'm trying to listen, and I'm slowly becoming willing to do that. Accepting others exactly as they are. Acceptance of my own body. This is the hard part. I've gained 100 pounds 3 times in these rooms in 40 years. It is very difficult for me to accept my own body. I'm not 260 today. I'm 180. I need to look in the mirror with love and say, I forgive you for what you've done. You had no choice. You have a disease and an addiction. And I love you and I accept you the way you are today. Those are the hardest words I could say to myself. And then how can I help God make this a reality? It's real easy. Stop fighting him. Stop trying to do it my way. Thank you.
I'm Janine, a compulsive overeater bulimic.
Hi, Janine.
I don't speak in front of crowds. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm back again to the OA program, and I didn't write. I made a picture for you all. Phew, nervous wreck here. So this is my self-seeking going away. I hope you all can see this. This is the little devil in me, very sad. He's out there above my head. I'm taking my little footsteps to start doing what I need to do. I start writing and all this anger comes out on me. And I think of all you and what I'm supposed to do. And you tell me, this is the old-fashioned telephone. I don't know how to make a cell phone picture. So I remembered my little grandma's phone, dial-up phone, and you talk and the party lines and everything. And so I'm calling anybody out there to help me. And it makes me cry because all that emotion's coming out. And it says, y'all tell me, get a sponsor. Well, here's my little sponsor, and she's so happy to be there for me. And so I'm walking into the rooms and going and talking to the sponsors, and you tell me to put your hands in your hands. Those are hands, not feet. And I'm not there by any means, but I meet my little angels and my God and my little clouds and then I keep walking and walking into the rooms, and you all are waiting there for me and teaching me what I need to know, and you all have got an A+ for everything you've known and the knowledge you're sending me and showing up in the rooms. And where I'm going to be after all this is in my little hippie van out there. That's me with the big peace sign and a rainbow, because I know if I keep on this journey, y'all are going to get me where I need to be. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Next up.
Okay, I'm Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater. My sponsor is a great believer in acting oneself into right thinking. So the behavior has changed quite a bit. The thinking doesn't change as fast. So I might be still screaming inside, what about me, what about me, what about me? But I don't have to act it out. And for me, that's always come first. And the first thing they had me do was the Just for Today card. It was just for today. I'm going to do a good deed and not get found out. And if anybody finds out about it, it doesn't count. Ooh, hi. Guess what? I picked up tin cans in the park today. Oops, sorry, you told me. Go do something else. And it made a serious difference in how I thought about things, because my reason for doing things was so that everybody knew I do things. And sometimes I still tell people the things I do, but I try to not do that as much. You know, that by acting appropriately, sooner or later, it just doesn't matter. The people I work on the most probably at this point are, I call them my in-laws, it's my son's in-laws. But this family travels in a group. They're very close. They do everything together. If someone's going to the grocery store, we all go to the grocery store. So if somebody's going to, you know, like, take the grandson to the zoo, we're all going to do it. And usually children's things follow the daughter. And so as a grandmother, I don't get much grandma time. And part of that's my own insecurities. But part of it is that everything happens at that house and not the grandma's house, the great grandma's house. And I've had to really think about that one. And what I decided is rather than try to lick them just to prove a point, I just join them. You know, I don't have to cook Thanksgiving dinner anymore. I don't have to cook Christmas dinner anymore. I don't have to even drive to most places anymore. And it's the easier, softer way. You know, I can dig in my heels and stick to my guns and be alone, but right, or God knows if that's even right, or I can join them, you know? And so my ideal of self-seeking slipping away is that, you know, some of these issues would be a buzz port and just cardboard. And life is short. It just can't be that important. There are issues that are important. But the kinds of stuff that I would get stuck on only create relationship problems and only leave me on the outside. They're all going to go on and have a perfectly fine life. And if there are people that I really, really cannot be around because there's still push buttons or whatever, well, I can choose not to be there. I have that choice. So I do a good deed and not get found out. Do two things you don't want to do. What else is on that card? They made me do it every day. It was grueling. But it really changed my behavior. And in seeing the response of other people to my changed behavior, I found that I think I'd rather be that other person than to be the person I was before. If you haven't gone back up to your room and cleaned up your trash and put the towels in the bathtub and put all the soaps and shampoos in the trash and left a nice thank you note for the maid, think about it. Yeah, think about it. We're all here paying big bucks for a room and we don't have to clean them. We don't have to do anything. It's stuff like that that makes me think, you know, does it really hurt that much to do a little something? And self-seeking, slowly but surely, will slip away. There are no written guarantees, but if we had a written guarantee, then what do we need faith for? You know, there's a certain part of this program, and we just have to step out and believe that things will change and will be okay. And I believe things will change and will be okay, but first I have to do something. And so God bless those people back in Baltimore that had me change my behavior. Kicking and screaming. They just wanted the deed. So thank you.
Morning, you guys.
Morning.
Okay. All right. So last night, this is essentially the conversation that I had with my boyfriend, and so I think higher power is really screaming at me right now. You know, we had this conversation, and he's a very gracious person, a very selfless person. And finally last night he had come to a point where he was like, I just want to do something that I want to do. Like, why do we always do what you want to do? And it hurt and I was crying. And I guess I didn't know because he also has trouble speaking up for himself. But, you know, I'm crying and he's like, I just want to go on a walk with you. Can we please do that? And of course, my disease mind's like, well, I don't want to walk. That's stupid. But and then, of course, I come up with all sorts of excuses like, well, it's boring. And I said that to him and he was like, the scenery might be boring, but you're not. And just to watch people around me be selfless has really helped me to consider the needs of others. And, you know, even after that, for people in the program and for, you know, my boyfriend to say, well, even if you were being selfish, like, I still love you and I still think the world of you. That's crazy to me. And, you know, as I think the way that I've watched my self-seeking slip away is that it's really slow going, but that, you know, even when my actions don't change, my heart is clear enough now that I can actually see the needs of others. So I have to be a little gracious with myself because it doesn't, you know, I'm not always inclined to act on those feelings and the things that I see, but I can see them now. And that's huge for me because I think before I just was oblivious. It was like, oh, well, you know, we're going to do what I want to do and that's fine. And you don't really have any of your own ideas or wants. And that's not true. But yeah, obviously I really needed to be here this morning. So thank you for the message and thank you guys for being here.
Thank you. We have time for one quick one. Okay. And this is called kicking and screaming. My cohort back there said, you should go up there. You've always got good things to say. And someone overheard us and said, that means you should go. That means you should go.
Hi, Patty.
I'm Patty. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, Patty. In the big book, when I first got into recovery 31 years ago in AA, excuse me for mentioning that, but it's part of my life. My sponsor, one of the guys said, this is a selfish program. And I thought, yay, it's okay to be selfish. You know, I grew up in a home where my mother... out of love. She never got new linoleum for her floor because it cost too much. Her stove burners didn't work. She would cook for a family of nine on one burner. She ate the chicken wing. To her dying day, she ate the chicken wing so the rest of us, we kids, could have real chicken. She didn't go to doctors. She didn't buy nylons. She wore my dad's underwear because she didn't have underwear. And that was the role I grew up in. And I thought, that's how you show love. Okay, selfish program means take care of self. Who said put the oxygen mask on first? I love that. So I'm sort of a codependent. Maybe some of you can... recognize that trait in yourself. And it's okay to be a codependent. It's not okay to be an unhealthy codependent. That's where I was. I moved here 10 years ago to Grand Junction to be a nanny granny for my daughter. Had a 3-year-old son. She was had a job that was 24/7. And this little child who had been so happy started wetting his pants, being afraid when his mom would leave the house. So I moved from Billings, Montana to be nanny granny, and I'm still nanny granny. He's 14. I'm teaching him to drive on the back roads. Don't tell the cops. because I do probably plan to move back to Montana at some point. And so when he's self-sufficient, can get himself around. In our family lifestyle, he comes over, I fix him breakfast, take him to school, pick him up from school, take him to functions, play cards with him, all kinds of things. And what I've learned in all of this is all of that's okay if I can do it without resentment. That's when it turns bad. Balance and moderation, take care of myself, take care of them, that's okay. I saw on Facebook today, it showed an empty coffee cup. It said, so you can't give any to anybody else if your coffee cup is empty. Fill it up first. And it's the my, your will, not mine be done that is my biggest prayer because in all of that glorious codependency and I'm helping you out, there's always that in the background, is it for you or for me? But today, most of it is for somebody else. My vision of a healthy life is doing all of that out of true love, not resentment. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody who shared, and I'm sure there was a lot of wonderful things that didn't get shared. And I was just thinking that I heard a term a few days ago, collective wisdom, and I feel like that's how this program works. It's like we all get to just like feed off of each other, and even I was... this morning before we got started, I was talking to someone and said, thank you so much for that thing you said in Grand Junction a few months ago. It's really stuck with me. And the other member said, well, I just passed it along from somebody else. And that's, you know, I feel like that's how this program works. Like we just hear something, we hold on to it and we pass it on and just help each other get through and deal with learning to live life on life's terms and not have to eat to avoid life. So I'm going to just close with a reading and then we'll say the third step prayer together. This is from For Today, and this is from March 3rd. It's the reading from March 3rd. It is when we try to make our will conform with God's that we begin to use it rightly. Bill W. It is easy to confuse certain desirable attributes with undesirable ones. To have humility, for example, does not mean to feel inferior. On the contrary, it means feeling equal, neither less nor more worthy than anyone. The same is true of willfulness, which I have often confused with determination, perseverance, and individualism. The latter are qualities belonging to people who think and act in a balanced, rational, adult manner. Self-will is an infantile expression of omnipotence, the delusion that I can force life to be exactly as I want it to be. That is the insanity of compulsive overeating. Seeking to conform my will with God's is what restores me to sanity. It gives me abstinence, peace of mind, and freedom from obsession. For today, to know what God would have me do is my first priority. For that knowledge smooths my path and frees me to live with energy and love. And with that, let's say the third step prayer together after a moment of silence for those still suffering. God,
I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of bondage to self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
All right, and I guess we'll come back at 10 o'clock for the next session.